Isaac is another familiar story we often find in a children's Bible. I remember reading this story of faith as a kid and how Abraham put his kid on the altar and was willing to sacrifice him in the name of God. I was very happy that my dad did not go to church and was not a man of faith, because as a kid, I did not want to take that kind of risk. Abraham was originally known as Abram, and we are introduced to Abram as a part of a genealogical list in chapter 11, but his story starts back in Genesis chapter 12, and through his story, God changes his name to Abraham, meaning the father of many. From Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Abraham's call began when he was 75 years old. He was married and he had no children. But what is really amazing about this call is that we have to remember that at the time of Abraham, there was no established church, no temple, no laws, no Ten Commandments. It is believed that the time of Abraham is around 500 years after the flood. Abraham knew of God through oral traditions, the oral traditions telling of a creator, telling of the fall of man, telling about Cain and Abel, telling about the flood. And most scholars believe that in between the time of the flood and Abraham is when we had such events as the Tower of Babel and the story of Job. So when we think about the faith of Abraham, I think it takes on a different perspective when we consider his circumstances. Because you and I have church. We have established theology. We have the Bible that counts of about 1,000 miracles and other examples of God's presence. And I think many of us have a cognitive faith. That is to say, we believe in God up here. But how many of us truly have our faith here? And Abraham had a genuine faith in his heart. And as we know from story after story in the Bible, genealogy meant everything. It was repeated several times in Genesis. And we frequently learn of the line from Adam to Noah and Noah to Abraham. And initially, it looks like it was going to end with Abraham. For Abraham, at 75 years old, had no children. And his wife was past the age of having children. Children were the sign of success. Children were the means of continuing on wealth, power, and success. Yet even without the blessing of children, Abraham loves God. He is faithful to hear and to obey the Lord. And this is where Abraham first hears of the promise of God, the promise that from him will come great nations, and how all the earth will be blessed through Father Abraham. And as Abraham travels through the land, he continues to express his faith. We see in Genesis 12, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. Abraham believed in worshiping God. And Abraham and Sarah moved and lived through some tough times over the next few years. They still had no children. They survived famine. They had several moves from the Mediterranean to Egypt. And while in Egypt, they have an incident with the Pharaoh. Abraham leaves Egypt and finally settles down and becomes a wealthy rancher. But with wealth comes feuding and fighting. And eventually, Abraham has to split off from his nephew Lot. And yet, in all of these events, we continue to see Abraham worshiping God. In Genesis 13, it says, "So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. Abraham worshiped God. Abraham offered sacrifices. Abraham trusted and followed the Lord, even though immediately he did not get the promises. And as Abraham's story continues, trouble continues to find Abraham. Abraham and Sarah still have no children, and Abraham becomes concerned. And in Genesis 15, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abraham, after decades of going back and forth and struggling and asking the Lord, What's going on? God said, Remain faithful. It'll happen as I tell you it's going to happen. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Don't we sometimes have a hard time with this, believing and trusting the Lord? We have promises in the Bible. We are told about things that we have promises of. Yet we have fear. Yet we have doubts. It was nearly 25 years between God's first promise of a nation to the actual birth of Isaac. It took 25 years for him to see that promise. And I get mad if I have to wait more than 30 seconds in a drive-thru for my burger. Abraham waited 25 years. And during this time, Abraham survives famine, family feuds, wars, and watches the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He detours God's plan and has a son with a servant. And God says, No, we're going to do this my way. And finally, he has a son with Sarah. Isaac is the long-awaited son. Ishmael, the son by the servant, was sent away, and Isaac is everything that they have. Isaac represents God's promise. And now we come to the story of Abraham offering Isaac as a sacrifice. God calls Abraham again, and God truly puts his faith to test. God tells Abraham that he is to offer his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. Now, we don't know how old Isaac is. Most children Bibles usually show him as young and innocent, a boy of maybe 7 to 8 years old. But based on the language used in the original scriptures and other parts of other scriptures, many scholars believe he was likely somewhere between 15 and 25 years old. The biblical historian Josephus, who was writing during the time of Jesus, said that Isaac's age was about 25. Now, I think that that fact paints a different picture to me. I think this makes it a little harder. After all, Sarah was already past 90 when she had Isaac. Now you fast forward 15 to 25 years. That means she was over 100. Now, God wants Isaac sacrificed. And if Isaac was to be killed on the altar, Abraham had to have faith that God could make Sarah pregnant one more time. Because he said it was through his flesh and blood that all people would be blessed. Isaac was the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, God was saying, I'm taking him away. And Abraham answered in faith. Abraham packed up everything he needed, including his son, and he was willing to be obedient even to the death of Isaac. But you see, that's not the only story of faith here. Abraham had set a strong example of faith for Isaac's entire life. He watched Abraham regularly worship God at the altar. Isaac watched him give burnt offerings. So Isaac knows the routine. Isaac knows what it means to go and worship God. He knows how to worship God. And on their way up to do this sacrifice, Isaac notices that there's something missing. In Genesis 22, verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham's faith was the example of faith to his son Isaac. Isaac knew and understood the importance of worshiping and following God. There is little doubt he had heard the stories of what Abraham and Sarah went through. Isaac knew he had to be different because his parents were much older than all of the other kids. And here Isaac has faith because he doesn't question a three-day journey to go make a sacrifice. Isaac doesn't say, Dad, don't we have altars closer to home? Why do we have to go to this mountain 3 days away? He wasn't concerned about that. Isaac was concerned about doing it right. He said, Dad, when we get there, aren't we going to worship God? Shouldn't we be doing it right? Shouldn't we have an offering to give to God? Isaac had faith to follow God and his father. Not only was he willing to go on this three-day journey, Isaac wanted to do it right. Let's get together and worship God the right way. And I think as parents and grandparents, the best thing we can ever do is set the example of faith for our families. Yet so many Christians are not setting the examples of faith. There are Christians across the nation who are not leading their families in worship at church. There are Christians who are teaching their kids that there are priorities ahead of Sunday worship. There are Christians who make trips to the lake, sports, and other things more important than gathering for worship. And prayer is absent in so many homes. For many Christians, there is little example of faith in their daily lives. And we need to continually ask ourselves, is my faith so evident at all times that my kids and grandkids see that God always comes first? That I follow God no matter where he says to go? If God said, pack up and move, would you be willing? If God says, go, take on this great task, change careers or anything else, would you simply say yes and go? What if he says, wait and be patient? I have a promise for you 25 years from now. Many of us only show our faith to our families on some Sundays. We say church is kind of important, unless there is something bigger or more important to do. How often do we miss church for something else? How often do we travel and don't find a place to worship God on our travels? We must be the examples of faith that teaches our kids and their kids the right way of worship, the right way to give him offerings, the right way of living for God, the right way of following God. The faith of Abraham and Isaac was no more evident of how strong their faith was than when they reached the top of the mountain. The scripture says when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, as I said, we don't know for sure how old Isaac was. But he was old enough to travel across the mountains 3 days carrying a load of wood. He was old enough to know and understand the rituals of worship. He was old enough to have faith. Yet the Bible gives us no evidence that Isaac questioned being tied up. No evidence that Isaac questioned being laid on the altar or that Isaac screamed in fear. I believe that the overwhelming faith that allowed Abraham to take his son to the altar and raise that knife was the same faith that Isaac had in God and in his father Abraham. The faith to trust the outcome no matter the situation. I believe Isaac was old enough and had a choice. I know my life is far from the faith of Abraham. I have not always lived in such a way that my boys would have absolute trust in me to do what Abraham did. But even if I failed in the past, that doesn't mean I can't start living that way today. My decision today to be a dedicated follower of God can still be a meaningful impact in the faith of my kids. We as Christians are called to make disciples of the world. And isn't our number one responsibility as parents and grandparents to make sure the most important people in our lives become disciples of Christ? Shouldn't we be living the examples of living a life in Christ, of living a life of humility, a life of servitude, a life of loving others and putting God first? Life starts with salvation in Christ. Christ has to be your Savior. And this is a journey that I am here to help you with. If you have no faith or if you're struggling with your faith, I am here. I am your pastor. I will help guide you through your journey of faith. And this is not anything that we can put off any longer. Because our faith not only impacts our eternal life, but it's our faith that could lead others in our family to a life of faith. And if there's one thing that COVID has taught us, is that life can be short and end in a hurry. And we cannot wait to share our faith with other people because it could be too late. Now, we can't be guaranteed that no matter our best efforts, we cannot be guaranteed that our children will choose a life of faith, for that is ultimately their choice. But I'll tell you one thing is for sure. Never give up. Never stop living out your faith. Never stop praying for them. Never stop worshiping. Never stop being a faithful follower. Always encourage those you love to choose a life of faith by the example that you live. Will your life lead other people to faith in Jesus Christ? Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, this is a story of extreme faith. But Lord, you have shown us that you are a keeper of promises, that you are a great provider, and that when we follow you in full faith, that you will always provide and that your ways will always triumph. Lord, especially in this time of a troubled country, a troubled world, in this time of a global pandemic, there's never been a time more than now that people need to see our faith in God. We need to live fearlessly. We need to live with courage. And we need to live with hope. And Lord, I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can regain our faith and that we can be the people that you have called us to be. And that through our faith, other people will be led to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us and guide us as your church. May we truly be a people of faith. All of this we ask and pray through your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what you've done in your past, your God is a forgiving God. Your God is a loving God. And I pray that you will come to God and say, God, I have not been what you have called me to be. God, transform me into a person of faith
so that my faith will influence my children. My faith will influence my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. My faith will influence my neighbors, my co-workers, and all the people around me. Because I don't know about you, but I want them to go to heaven. And it could be your faith that leads them to a decision in Jesus Christ. A decision that will lead them to a life of faith so that they too can share in the same promises that we have received. Let us go now and be a people of genuine faith. Let us be a people that makes it a priority to worship and honor our God and to be like Abraham and say, "Here I am, Lord. I will follow you." Go now in faith. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.